Welcome to the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving. We provide education and information on senior care topics. Here's your host, Ryan McInniff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition, another episode, another recording, another whatever of the caregiver's
day in the life.
Another day in the life of the caregiver's toolbox. Tools for everyday caregiving. We give you information, education on senior care topics. My name is Ryan Mack, and if I am here with Janet. Janet, how are you?
I'm good, Ryan.
So I own the company. Janet's the director of client care, and we get together and we chat about senior care services. We talk about retirees. We talk about employment with retire. Anything to do with people that could use home care or senior services, we'll talk about. But our focus is usually on private home care. But one of the things we had a guest in a couple weeks ago. Like I said, I'm trying to have a guest once a month to talk about their side of things on something and a topic, whether it's a topic, whether it's an industry, or whether it is a service, to give a little bit more perspective on some of the things outside of our little bubble here, which is really two people. So we by no means are experts. We just slept at a Holiday Inn last night. So a couple weeks ago, we did have Tyler Gates on. I thought that was a really good conversation. Yep. About saving for retirement. I mean, you know, I find this stuff interesting. Hopefully other people do. I know that for a lot of people, finances are extraordinarily stressful because it's like being a little kid and you're in the dark and it's like, hey, we need to go under the bed and look at the boogeyman right in the face.
Yep.
Or the monster in the closet.
And if I don't look under the bed, I won't see the boogeyman.
Exactly.
So I'm not going to deal with it.
And kick that can down the road for years and years and years until the can can't be kicked anymore or the damage is already done. But one of the things that when we were talking about this and I got to do the plugs first. So if
that's
you
right.
are interested in learning more about us, you can go to our website, mwhomecare.com. You can read our blogs. You can listen to our podcast there. We have videos there as well. If you want to go straight to the videos, they're all uploaded to YouTube. So you can look up the Caregiver's Toolbox on YouTube. And then if you want to be a guest on the show, reach out to me via Twitter at GetBigRed. You can find me there. You'll see my picture. Or you can reach out to me via email, ryan@mwhomecare.com. I'll consider a lot of different people. Obviously, you need to be involved in senior care somehow, have some type of story related to it, something along those lines. But we would love to have more guests on the show. And that's my big plug. So we were talking with Tyler Gates. We were talking about how difficult it is to save for care. But two of the articles that I was thinking about bringing up with Tyler, but we clearly wanted to speak with him one-on-one, then talk about articles, were these two that I saw in the Wall Street Journal that came out roughly the same time frame. Not the same time frame, but in the last year. So they're both very relevant. And it's just talking about how difficult it is for older adults right now. In general, one is that older adults are not entering into the retirement years with as much money as they should have. And then secondly, one of the problems that's exacerbating that issue is that when older adults, they're not seniors, but older adults, people over, we'll say 50, have a career change, they are seeing that their career change is not not just a career change, a unwanted career change. They either laid off or they're fired or something along that lines happens. They're not able to find that kind of money that they had with a previous job, or maybe they've officially retired but realize that their savings isn't lasting as long as they'd like or they want more. When they go back into the workforce, they're not finding jobs that match up with the education and experience levels that they have. And what I mean by that, it feels like they're getting jobs working at the Home Depot or working at Walmart or doing more of a cashier at a grocery store when, you know, they were previously an engineer, 2 years prior or 5 years prior. So that's kind of one of the things. And the reason we bring this up, or at least I bring it up with my little monologue, and then is that, you know, there's this trickle down effect, right? We have right now, a lot of our clients that we have are paying for their home care personally, right? They have a nest egg that they've been able to afford this, and they're paying for that. But I think also you're going to see, and you also have, a certain percentage of people that have their kids that are involved in paying for this as well. You know, maybe their child makes a lot of money, maybe their child doesn't make a lot of money. I guess, but somehow they're whether it's the HELOC loans on the house, whether it's taking the money out of retirement or just supplementing it through second jobs or just living a lower lifestyle, they're also paying for this care as well.
Yeah. And many people, many of those people you're talking about are that sandwich generation that they talk about, because you're trying to support your parents and you're trying to get the kid through college without, you know, having a loan that's going to last 1,000 years.
Absolutely. And so one of the reasons we bring this up is we're trying to get people to think about the future. This isn't going to affect Minute Women in the next 10 years, 15 years. It may never affect Minute Women, because we are in a bubble in New England and in the Boston area where there is a lot of wealth here. But this is not just talking about New England. This is talking about everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're finding and what they're seeing, ironically, is that, you know, Social Security, as we know, is nice to have, but it doesn't pay all the bills. It usually supplements your income. It is not a replacement for your income. And you're seeing
the future of that is unknown.
The future of that is very unknown. And you have a very high average debt. And the reason people are aging parents are getting involved in this debt is because they're paying for their child's education. That this issue with the education, from what the Wall Street Journal is saying, is it's a double-sided sword right now. The kids are going to high-end colleges that cost a lot of money, and either they're the ones that can't pay the bill and they're starting to default on it, or the parents start paying for it and that depletes their income, where they're obviously paying for their kids' education by taking away from their future retirement savings.
Yeah, and there are people that are doing everything they can there, and it could be a whole nother podcast. People are downsizing or want to downsize, but it doesn't mean you can sell your house and move to someplace little that's going to save you any money because of housing. So it's a whole big mishmash of costs without cash, you know, and you got to find a way through it.
Absolutely. So you're seeing, you know, when we talk about different generations, we're talking about the World War II generations, right?
Yep.
So we're talking about, you know, your father, your mother, Janet, that's the World War II generation kind of people.
The greatest generation that didn't have a credit card, didn't have debt, paid as they went.
Paid cash.
So worried about another depression.
Those aren't the people that are having issues with savings necessarily. It's
correct.
The baby boomers that are. The people that are in between 55 and 70 years old right now. And the problem with that is that we've talked about this before, is that there's been a lot of overspending in their life, in having the 3-car garage, the McMansions, and the 3 Beamers. Then the kids have to go to private schools of some kind, and then there wasn't a whole lot of savings. Well, what this is saying is that people that are doing this is that they don't have a lot of money in their 401k. Their 401k is on average bringing in about $8,000 a year, which is like $800 a month, less than that. And this is going to cause ripple effects down the road when, you know, right now that we have an issue with people not going into nursing homes. Nobody wants to go into nursing homes. It's just the way it is. So where are people going? People are going at private home care, and people are going to assisted livings. Assisted livings more and more are looking like glorified nursing homes in some situations. There are probably, I would say, every nursing home in this area has 2 or 3 people in it at least that are probably no longer appropriate for assisted living, but they are making it work in there because they promised to mom and dad that they would never go to a nursing home.
Yep.
And so the reason I'm bringing this up is that a lot of people are privately paying for the nursing care that the Medicaid should be paying for, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're paying for the housing of the assisted living, and then they're paying for either nursing care or private home care to go in there.
Right, because assisted living is what they refer to as a social model, not a medical model.
Exactly. So what happens when the next generation in 10 or 15 years doesn't have the money to supplement a quasi-nursing home as an assisted living and getting private home care in there, and then they're forced to go into a nursing home, then you're really going to be stressing the situation. And I think that's kind of how I'm reading some of this information from these articles, that there aren't as many people in nursing homes as there could be.
Yep.
And that's going to probably change in the next 10 or 15 years.
Yeah. And then on top of that, there are major staffing issues because there aren't enough caregivers to go around. You know, so you have your problems with that. And, you know, I think they're in, you're seeing in little bits and pieces some of the regulations for some of the assisted livings are looking at changing.
Yeah.
You know, most people, the average person doesn't realize that, yeah, there is a wellness nurse in that facility, but they can't do their insulin shots, you know, and to bring in a nurse to do that daily. Those are the quandaries that a lot of people are finding with the assisted living. Maybe things will change. Maybe assisted livings will have someone come on board that deals with that. Who knows how that evolution will go?
So some numbers, more than 40% of households headed by people aged 55 through 70 lack sufficient resources to maintain their standard of living in retirement. That's around 15 million American households. The percentage of families that have any debt headed by 55 or older has risen steadily for more than two decades to 68% in 2016 from 54% in 1992. Mm-hmm. Americans aged 60 through 69 have $2 trillion in debt in 2017, and an 11% increase per capita from 2004. According to the New York Federal Reserve, data adjusted for inflation. So you're dealing with people racking up even more debt, and I don't know how that's going to, I mean, I know how that's going to affect things. It's not going to be good.
Yeah.
It's people aren't going to have the money. And that brings up the other article that we can talk about is in the same, the Wall Street Journal came out basically a month ago, the booming job market can't fill retirement shortfalls. So what they're talking about, it's amazing that, you know, it is amazing that we have unbelievable unemployment. We have unbelievable across the board. You know, you can obviously get into whether the jobs are quality jobs or not. But the fact of the matter is, when you're looking at bird's eye view, there are a lot of people working right now in this country. Mm-hmm. And there are more people working right now than there ever have been. So that is obviously a positive thing when you start looking at a macro kind of wide-angle lens type thing.
Yeah, and if you want to be Debbie Downer, like I'll be right now, you can say the unemployment level, those numbers could be very different because it's not including all the people that have, like you said, been outplaced by their job and can't find another job and have given up. Unemployment's based only on the people that are actively looking.
That's true. That's always true. And that's you know, that was kind of the case with the Great Recession was, you know, the overall feeling was that the unemployment rate was a lot higher because there were so many people that just had given up because they had spent 3, 4, 5, 6 months looking for work unsuccessfully. And so they just stopped looking.
Yeah.
So anyways, the reason this brings up is that they use it an example of Greg Miller, a former environmental engineer and contract administrator, was laid off in 2017. He recently gave up looking for full-time work after sending out more than 400 resumes. So a 65-year-old guy, and I would say most people feel that 65 is not old. Like it's you're aging, you're getting older, but you know, 65, there's still people 65 playing pickup basketball on the weekends. You know, they're still, they're going for runs. You look at the Boston Marathon, there are plenty of 65-year-olds that are still running 26.2 miles. And what the problem is that, you know, it's really just ends up being a situation where people are being, it's ageism.
Yeah. And I think there's a feeling that automation can replace experience in many situations. So the life experience where somebody who's 65 could probably contribute a lot, there's the thought process, I think, that some of the technology is sufficient and cheaper.
And so the unemployment rate for older workers is 3%, which again, bird's eye view, looks good.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is the quality of the jobs that they're getting. and that nearly 8 million older Americans are out of work or stuck in low-quality jobs that offer little opportunity to prepare for retirement. So, again, it's going back to maybe it's those Home Depot jobs, those part-time Home Depot jobs, or the ones that are paying you hourly to greet people or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. Even if they do have a retirement fund that you can pay into, you're making such a low wage that it doesn't really accumulate. Now, granted, if you're starting to save for retirement at 65 years old, you're already well behind the eight ball because you need time and you need consistency of putting money into a retirement account. That's how compound interest and works. But the problem is that, you know, these people are getting laid off and they can't find another job that is even in the realm of what they were making because nobody's willing to hire. Nobody's willing to consider. So, you know, another 5.8 million Americans, or 23% of full-time year-round workers age 55 or older, are employed in what the economists describe as quote-unquote bad jobs that offer no health benefits and typically pay poorly. A decade ago, about 20% held these jobs, according to a census compiled by the Minnesota Population Center. These jobs, quote-unquote, these jobs will, which might be right for some, tend to offer low wage pay and little opportunity to save retirement, said Alicia from the Center of Retirement Research at Boston College.
Yeah, the company's trying to save on benefits, and we could spend hours talking on the cost of health care. So to put someone on the health insurance plan, you know, it's in your later life that you take a bigger chunk out of health care, and the costs of that have skyrocketed. So that's a risk for a company too.
Absolutely. And it said workers 55, 56 and older earn on average. I wonder why they put 56 there. I bet, why wouldn't you do a round number like 55? Probably because it would have skewed a little bit. But workers 56 and older on average earn 27% less in their new job after they've been unemployed for at least a month. Only 1 month. Mm. According to Stony Brook University economist David Wixer, compared with an average raise of 7% for people under 30 years old.
Yeah, and, you know, I can't help but wonder if this doesn't feed into, you think of the high cost of childcare, and there are households where what somebody's bringing home only covers the childcare. They're not getting ahead by that. But there is that fear that if they leave the job market, what are they going to be worth to reenter the job market a few years from now? And so they have to keep working to be of value, to get their top dollar.
Absolutely. So, I mean, it's just one of those things where, again, you know, to me, those articles tie in very closely to one another, because when you're, you know, when you're 45, 50 years old, you know, usually people's money-making years are in that 40s and 50 years old. And then when retirement was 65, obviously it went down, but you know, those are the years where you're able to really put away a lot of money, and you should be able to put away a large amount of it. And one, people aren't doing that because they're forced to be paying the debts that they have, including their kids' college tuition debt. But additionally, when you have layoffs, and if we are to have another recession, which will happen sooner or later, I mean, I think most people say we're overdue for such a recession, there is going to be a contraction in the economy. So there are going to be people that get laid off. And if you do read the Wall Street Journal regularly or any newspaper, you know that GM's laid off people. You know that Apple's laid off people. I think Apple just laid off some people. I know that Elon Musk has laid off people at both Tesla and at his rocket company. I forget the name of it, not Blue Origin, but whatever, SpaceX. So there are still layoffs going on, and layoffs come for a number of different reasons. And maybe a lot of that layoff has to do with China's recession that's going on. And that's obviously exacerbated by the tariffs that we have going on. But at the end of the day, regardless of the tariffs, regardless of whatever, we have been on a hot streak for way too long. And there was something that was going to happen that's going to retract the size of the economy. And whether it's policy or whether it's just simple economics, it's going to happen eventually.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen to those people that get laid off?
Well, I think it's interesting that the whole To me, the whole government shutdown, take the politics out of it, not talking about any of that, but for the people that were affected, for the people that didn't have paychecks, and some of those people were government workers that were going to get back pay or whatever, but you listened or you read in the paper or you heard interviews of these people that were finding it so difficult to get by. And we were talking about something that was roughly 30 days long, you know, and these were people that, you know, of course, you always hear the extreme stories and you hear the things of the sure. person that had to pay their mortgage. They had to change their insulin dose to every other day and hope they woke up in the morning because they couldn't get the money to buy whatever they needed for medicine. And you're hearing all these different things. Well, that's like a little microcosm of what goes on when sure. people don't have the money.
And people haven't saved and people haven't prioritized with saving. So, I mean, it's certainly one of those things where you're absolutely right. When you take the politics out of it, it's just shocking that people can't go 30 days without, you know, I remember growing up, my parents were very hard to instill. Like, you would be surprised if how many people would start missing bills if they missed 1 week's worth of pay. Yep. So when you miss 4 weeks worth of pay, even though you know you're going to get paid on the back end if you're a true government worker versus a contractor,
yep.
it's, you know, it's still like, hey, you know, this.
There's no rainy day.
There's no rainy day fund, which is concerning. But that's why every once in a while we bring this stuff up, because I think it's important to remember that regardless of how old you are, whether you're 40, whether you're 50, whether you're 60, or whether you're 20, I've said this to you, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is today.
I quoted you Sunday for that very issue.
It's a great quote that, you know, yeah. some Chinese proverb or whatever it is, and it is always going to ring true. Yeah, it would have been better 20 years ago, 10 years ago, if I had kept running and hadn't gained some weight. You know what the best time to start running is today? It's today. And that's the same thing with saving. And there are plenty of things out there to look at saving and look how to do that. But, you know, we're all going to get older and we're all going to die. And in between that getting older and that dying, there can be a lot of things that have, now you might be the person that has a heart attack and you never needed 1 second of private home care in your life.
or you
could be the person that gets dementia.
Yeah. You know, like they say, Murphy's Law has not been repealed. And, you know, things always go wrong at the worst possible time for most folks.
Yep.
And, you know, it's not that you can go through life panicked. We'd never get out of bed if we actually thought about all this stuff. But it's like, what can you do to try and manage what could be down the road?
Absolutely. So, I mean, listen, it's not easy. It's like we talked about it. For a lot of people, it's the boogeyman in a closet. Yep. And there's no judgment here. I'm sure everybody in this building could do better with their savings and making silly mistakes or making big mistakes across the way. But, you know, this stuff is this rooster is going to start crowing at some point in time, and there are going to be a lot of people that are sitting there going, what do we do now, because I don't have any money to pay for the services.
How did this happen? Yeah.
So anyways, Janet, thank you for talking with me about this, and thank you all very much for listening, and we will catch you on the next one. Thank you.